Okay, Jeremiah chapter 52. Now, chapter 52 most definitely was not written by Jeremiah's, but we don't actually know who the author of chapter 52 is. But it's really very similar to the last chapter of Kings and Chronicles, 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. It's basically a summation of the destruction of Jerusalem and why the people went into captivity, and gives a little bit of information, which we already have from the book of Jeremiah. But I'll go through it, and there might be a couple of things that we need to speak about. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. Now, he was a brother of Jehoiakim's and a son of Josiah. Both of them were sons of Josiah, the good King Josiah. So Zedekiah basically was appointed to be the king by Nebuchadnezzar. He was, if you like, a king only by permission of Nebuchadnezzar, as long as he remained obedient to him. But he didn't, as you know from having read Jeremiah. He actually sided with the Egyptians, hoping that the Egyptians would defeat Nebuchadnezzar, and it turned out real bad for him. So he got defeated. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, till he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. That's what I was just talking about. Now it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, and they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. The siege lasted about 18 months. By the 4th month and the 9th day of the month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled and went out of the city at night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were near the city all around, and they went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he killed all the princes of Judah in Riblah. He also put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in bronze fetters, took him to Babylon, and put him in prison till the day of his death. Now you've already seen all that in the study of the book of Jeremiah. So Zedekiah finished up, as a result of being rebellious against Nebuchadnezzar, he finished up being taken captive, tried to flee from Jerusalem, got captured, and got taken before Nebuchadnezzar, and had his eyes poked out, which actually fulfilled prophecy, which was horrible, and his sons were all martyred, all killed. And he actually was taken in bronze fetters into captivity in Babylon, and that's where he stayed in prison until he died. Now in the 5th month, on the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. Now Nebuzaradan, as you know, was the chieftain of the army. So he was the one that actually came and attacked Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great men, he burned with fire. And the army of the Chaldeans, who were with the captain of the guard, broke down all the walls of Jerusalem all around. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive some of the poor people. The rest of the people who remained in the city, the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the craftsmen. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers. Now this is information that we didn't, the next section is information that we actually didn't get out of the book of Jeremiah, but it's in 2 Kings. The bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts, and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces, and carried all their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the bowls, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered, the basins, the fire pans, the bowls, the pots, the lampstands, the spoons, and the cups, whatever was of solid gold and whatever was of solid silver, the captain of the guard took away. the two pillars, one sea, the 12 bronze bulls which were under it, and the carts which King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. Now concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits. A measuring line of 12 cubits could measure its circumference, and its thickness was 4 fingers. It was hollow. Now this is very, like, this is all bronze, and this was a huge size. Like, I mean, it says one pillar was 18 cubits. That's 18 and 7, that's 25, 89, 27 feet high. 4 inches thick. It was hollow in the middle. And it was 18 feet around. Now that's a monstrous pillar. And this is made of bronze. And it just took all those and brought them into Babylon. Its thickness was 4 fingers, it was hollow. A capital of bronze was on it. So on the top, you know what a capital is, like a fancy work on the top of a pillar. You know, when you see pillars in these fancy places, they have a bit of fancy work on the bottom and a fancy work on the top. And it's wider on the top than the general. This is all it's talking about. A capital of bronze was on it, and the height of one capital was 5 cubits, with a network and pomegranates all around the capital, all of bronze. The second pillar with pomegranates was the same. There were 96 pomegranates on the side. All the pomegranates all around in the network were 100. Now these were all work. This was all craftsman's work. So it was really ornate and well made, and obviously quite expensive. So all of these things were taken. Now they're recorded also in 2 Kings. And what's interesting about these is these were all taken out of the temple, and they were brought into captivity into Babylon, into Nebuchadnezzar's palace. But later on, first of all, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, I believe it was, Belteshazzar, was using the cups from the captured vessels of the temple, and mocking God on the night that his whole army was destroyed by the Medo-Persians. And after that, Darius the Mede, or Cyrus, I forget which of them, ordered that all of this stuff be sent back to Jerusalem when Ezra and Nehemiah came back to rebuild the temple. So it all came back. So it's amazing how in the captivity it was all captured while the people were disobedient to God. But when they went back into the land, it all came back again. The captain of the guard, verse 24, the captain of the guard took Sariah the chief priest, Zephaniah the second priest, and the 3 doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, 7 men of the king's close associates who were found in the city, the principal scribe of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. So they were really savage. As you can see, they had no... Well, I mean, even today, I guess some of you probably saw some of the atrocities that were committed in Syria over the last few days. People have no compassion. It's terrible. These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive. In the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. And in the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captives of the Jews, 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. Now this just seems to be a particular number. There were many, many more captives, because you can read in the book of Kings where there were 18,000 captives taken. So there were lots and lots. This is only just whatever number that's recorded here for whatever reason. But there were many different captivities and people taken into Babylon. So upon thousands, upon thousands, upon thousands, because something in the region of 50,000 came back to Israel when Ezra and Nehemiah came back and resettled the land. So, of course, there were an awful lot of people killed, but thousands upon thousands upon thousands were taken out of the land. But this is only just a certain number that's recorded here. Now, it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Now, this Jehoiachin is the guy that's known as Kaniah. So he was taken captive very early on. And he was actually the king. He was actually the king of Judah. And this guy Zedekiah was made king in place of him when Jehoiakim was taken captive. So remember I said that Zedekiah was like a vassal king under Nebuchadnezzar. Jehoiakim was the real king, but he was evil. And it was on him that the curse was pronounced, that nobody from him would ever sit on the throne of Judah. So it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month and on the 25th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon. Now evil Merodach was obviously the son of or grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. He came to power. In the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. Now, lifted up his head means he had mercy on him. It doesn't mean that it meant that he had mercy on him, and he actually regarded him. Now, whether that's good or bad is another thing, because with the name this guy had, evil Merodach, if you were his friend, you'd have to think didn't say an awful lot for Jehoiakim. I would be inclined to think that it was a honor amongst thieves sort of a relationship. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. So he came into favor with this, the new king in Babylon, evil Merodach. But whether that, as I said, that's a good thing or not, we don't really know. But it's possible that it wasn't, because evil Merodach would have been an idolater, and Jehoiakim was not wasn't blessed by God because of his performance. So more than likely, it was not really a very honourable type of a relationship. But he was looked on with favour by the king of Babylon, and that's the end of the book of Jeremiah.